ready.
Welcome back, everyone, to another exciting installment of Middle 8 Table Break Gorsana Edition.
Yeah.
That's a water bottle.
Very excited to usher in this new era of Turning Tables Podcast. We've gone...
Long live the queen, the old king is dead.
God damn it.
We've got a full rotation, Dream Blunt rotation.
Love it.
I'm so upset. With me, as always, are my fabulous co-DMs, Ruben.
We're no longer intrepid. We're not fabulous.
You are fabulous.
Hell yeah.
Fabulous fantasy...
Fableman. Oh, careful. Nice.
Easy. Help.
I can say it. You can. Oh, shit.
Oh, my God.
I was not...
That was not planned.
I was not planning on going there. And Danny.
Howdy. Oh, my God.
We're yelling slurs.
Already. And I got in trouble for a good joke.
Anyway.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
There's actually, yeah, in...
Danny said something
bad. No, in this level, we could actually talk about it. So let's actually kick it off. Who has a question?
I have a question for Ruben.
Hello.
Literally question number one. I'm going to read it exactly how I wrote it. Why shroomies?
Why shroomies?
Well, yeah.
Because we had discussed beforehand that Fabricius was a spore druid.
Mm-hmm.
And then partly we could get into more when we get to that question. What was it? Part of my inspiration was that Last of Us was real popular. It just came out. Everybody was on Last of Us and all that. And the whole premise of that show is that there's a fungus that basically causes them to turn into zombies.
Ah.
But I wanted to go a little bit more gruesome than just regular zombies. I wanted to be like Resident Evil zombies.
Yeah. So actual monsters, not just the dead rising.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, that's why shroomies.
I love that. What was the hardest part about writing this level?
So, literally, the second episode, I completely scrapped everything I was doing.
Oh my god.
Shit.
Wait, why?
Because I thought it would just make a better story.
Ah.
So
I did that with my level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, I did it live after the second episode. I was like, nah, we're not doing that anymore. So originally, like, Morbus was supposed to be the no shit. He was the governor.
Right.
And I was like, what if he was, like, more... Because you guys are already kind of, like, suspicious of him already. He already told you to do something. Yeah, if you do it, I'll let you go. Whatever. I was like, but what if he wasn't really in charge? Like, what if he was just trying to get rid of you guys? Of course he sends you to this place where he knows it's an obvious fucking trap. Try to get rid of you guys. And I built it from there.
Mm. well, so speaking of traps and us just finishing recording Hops and Notes, were you, when you were writing the riddles, were you worried that Alex and Connor were going to figure it out right away?
I thought I had made them...
Because I think both of you guys had gotten where he's getting it from, but mm-hmm. you weren't sure what to do.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So I wanted to make them kind of difficult. I wasn't expecting how difficult I made them. Whole episode was definitely experimental.
Mm.
Well, to be fair, that episode we also just had a hard time communicating anyway because it was all remote and there was like a huge lag. So like I know editing it was a bitch.
Editing was a fucking bitch.
It
was rough.
And that's why actually I brought the extra screen because I wanted to display the stuff I showed on the Zoom in person so you guys had like something visually, which in that aspect it worked out, but yeah, the communication was just rough. I wanted them to be difficult without being impossible that you guys would eventually get there. I suspected that it would take a full episode to get through all the riddles. My main concern was that because you guys knew where they came from, that you're gonna breeze through them and then get into the fight like 10 minutes into the episode.
I feel like that's a common, like, DM concern. Like, being over-prepared is, like, absolutely a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, Marcus, my stepdad, has the same problem. Where, like, he's, like, I always expect you guys to get way further than you actually did. Which, like, it's a good problem to have. Like, that means you always have material and something to work off of. But, you know.
I overprepare.
Yeah.
I have so much shit ready just in case.
Were you guys upset that there was no Vix Vita?
No. I was more confused because I was just like, she's dead, or is she, or we have to kill her?
I think that's why, like, I was more confused too, because I was like, wait.
But why?
Yeah, I was like, no, she's dead, and like, we've openly said that she's dead, but also, like, maybe no?
But also, yeah, exactly. Well, I think that was a really fun, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, red herring?
Yeah.
Like, we were focused on that, but also because information is so slow to travel between terraces, it makes sense that, like, there could be rumors that she's alive, but also news that she isn't even dead yet, like, probably hasn't gotten to other terraces. Because we're also, like, what number was?
Four.
Yeah, so we're approaching a middle.
Yeah. And I had done that purposely. Well, again, at first, you guys were totally supposed to meet Vix Vita at some point. Like, I was getting ready for, like, I was practicing the voices. I was trying to figure out what her demeanor was like, because we had discussed the type of character she was going to be. But then when I had that change of, like, oh, he's going to get rid of her, or get rid of the group, there's no Vix Vita here. Yeah. Why would there be? He's not concerned with any of that. Marauders, who fucking cares?
What, if you don't know off the top of your head, that's fine. What were the challenge ratings of the characters we fought at the end? Do you remember?
So they were based off
This is also for selfish reasons, because I'm
You talking about, like, the guardian creatures and, like,
yeah,
Angel?
Yeah.
The guardians were a mix of a creature called the Veteran, which is, like, basically a worn toward, like an orc or a hobgoblin who's done a lot of fighting. So the combat side came from them, and then there was a creature from the kobold tome of creatures that was like this weird fire fungus thing. So I took half of that from them and half of that from them. I think they were challenge rating, they're in the teens.
Right,
I don't remember exactly off the top of my head.
God damn it.
Well, at least the king one, he was definitely in the teens. Squarehead was...
You guys are leveling up before you get to my level anyway.
Yay.
So
the Squarehead one was basically a lower version, just like the Veteran without all the extra powers. The Death Angel was definitely from Ravnica, the book for the Magic the Gathering. It was a reflavored version of the... There's like a anti-angel creature in that book. I forget exactly what it's called, but it was a flavor of that and Aurelia, which is, Aurelia is like a top tier angel in the Magic the Gathering environment. So you guys were fighting something that was in between like a 14 and a level 20 CR rating.
Jesus Christ.
God damn.
And I wanted it to be like difficult. I wanted to, at the very end, to be... Because I wanted to see if I could get close to killing somebody without actually killing somebody. That's why I had thrown the gold golem at you guys. Because I wanted you guys to waste resources, which you did. I just wanted you guys to get through the puzzles and use resources, which you did. And then fight the Death Angel, use resources, which you did. The real main boss was supposed to be Morbus, but it was like... Morbus was like a level 20 Arcana cleric.
Okay.
Oh.
But he was on his last leg.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay, this is good. This make okay, cuz like I'll save it for the end.
Well, I was thinking about that too on the way over here and like kind of at work where I was like Morbus was obviously big bad of this level, but it didn't I think he didn't feel that way because he was hurt. But it like kind of gave that vibe because we were hurt going in. Well, and like we weren't, aside from Zaris, we were like at not 100%. It felt like that Death Angel at first was more of a real thing. And then we were like, holy fuck, we still have to deal with somebody who's also much more powerful than us, but they're also kind of hurting. So that kind of like gave a shred of hope, I think. Where I think I was more scared for Death Angel than I was for Morbus.
Well, I think there was like this like, oh shit moment for us when we go to fight Morbius, and he's still like, we can tell he's hurt, but he's still like beating our asses. Yeah. Like the stuff that he had going on, like, and all of us were just like, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit. And then when he hit Elias with the disintegration.
No, that was the Death Angel.
The Death Angel. I'm sorry. When the Death Angel tried hitting Elias with the disintegration, and we all just start screaming.
He rolled a nat one.
Dude, when you said disintegration, I already know that it was 40, and I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, I know. You know what it was. Alex knew what it was. And James was like, all three of you guys were like, and then Connor, because he's a newer player.
He
was scared because he didn't know what was happening. He just saw your guys' reaction. He was like, what's going
to
happen?
He was like, well, you're about to lose half your HP immediately. And then if he rolls higher than what you have left, you die.
You're just dead. You're gone.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. And I do like at the end, once that all resolved, even James was like, oh, I was so scared.
James went down twice in that fight.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay. So, Alex, did you think either of them were going to die?
Did I think who?
Elias or Siegfried? Because Siegfried went down twice, and I think a few times in the Morbius fight, or maybe once in the Morbius fight.
I think once also in the Morbius
fight.
Siegfried was basically bouncing back and forth between consciousness and unconsciousness.
He had a nat 20 in the Morbius fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, that brought him back up. So, as the only player with any healing capabilities outside of Lay on Hands from Elias, I have to make an interesting player decision between bringing a character back up or doing something that I want to do.
Or even possibly, like, ending the encounter.
Right.
Because, like, Morbius was super beat up, like, I don't know. One of your stronger spells could have just ended him.
Right, but you never know, right?
Yeah.
And so you just kind of have to, like, it's a weird place to be having to decide, like, do I want to do this thing that I know will be for the betterment of the party? Or do I want to do what I want?
What I think is cool.
What I think is fucking cool, right?
Another one.
I didn't think any of them were going to die. Like, I had the spell resources to prevent them from dying. But it wasn't gonna be pretty for sure. I was preparing to go heal Siegfried when he rolled that nat 20 to bring him back up. Thank God.
Yeah. So
but then also he went right into battle with one HP, like an insane person.
What?
Well, I mean, what else is he gonna do? Barbarian.
There was once when he went down during the Death Angel fight where I know you were about to go like haul ass over there and bring him up right when Team Fungus showed up.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they healed him.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, thank God, because I need Zaris to do something else. Like, don't heal him. Like, he's going to be fine. But it was definitely moments where I was like, like Ruben said, we either end it now and we don't have him roll death saves.
Yeah.
Or we fucking risk it and he rolls a death save. And
worst case, he fails or he gets hit by something.
Yeah, or he rolls a nat one.
Yeah.
Like, fuck.
Yeah, I think also just the impulse to play cleric-coded characters. But I've gotten better at that, I think, as I've gotten a little bit more comfortable in, like, Zaris's character. Like,
right.
I know that that's probably not something she would do.
Yeah.
And then just kind of sticking to, like, what she would do. Because, like, her background is she's a warrior. So I think having healing spells are, like, her idea of, like, being, like, a battleground medic, right? Like, she's, like, keeping people from dying, but she's not going to give you any substantial healing.
Right.
I like it. I like that.
Yeah.
Ruben, besides the obvious references, sleep token for those who know, and Pokemon, what else influenced the world building?
So, again, Last of Us, the Resident Evil, and then I don't remember where I got the idea for the fake city, but there was some media that I watched recently at the time that was like, less like it was illusion, but more like this guy was imagining he was somewhere. I forget what it was. It was something I just happened to watch. Didn't even register. It was like on a TV at freaking work or something.
Oh shit.
Like he was like literally this guy was like losing his mind and he was starting to see a city that wasn't there. Think like very big like Pee Wee Herman, but except Pee Wee Herman
darker.
Yeah, like he was actually losing his mind.
Right.
Mm.
So that's where I thought like, okay, what if all this didn't actually exist? The idea for like the crystal ball actually comes from our home game, Nia Muerto.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the same, it's basically the same object, except for the fungus undead versus right. like the undead that we have in the game. Let's see, Pokemon. Yeah, I think that's about, that's, yeah, I didn't have a lot of NPCs in my world. Yeah, I didn't really deal with a lot of people.
No.
Mostly spent a lot of time in the sewers.
Yeah.
And that was on purpose.
It was very combat heavy.
Yeah, I wanted it to be very much like in an apocalyptic scene, you're not going to be dealing with a lot of other people, just those who are.
And when you do, you don't know if they're hostile or not.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened when you met Fabrice for the first time. You're like he was covered in fungus. Like, is he a good guy or what? Did that on purpose. I also.
That was a good redirect, by the way.
Of what, doing all that?
Fabrice and, like, Fabricius and...
Yeah, it was... I don't know why. It just... The inspiration came at, like, the second... Or... What was the second? Whatever I told you guys to go to the sewer. Like, that was, like, spur of the moment, changing everything.
Yeah.
I actually have the original notes here that he was the leader of this Redemption Hospital, or whatever the hell it's called. That he was a healing cleric that was actually an arcane wizard. Or Arcana Cleric. Yeah, that I actually put that Vix Vita was actually on this plane, but he was more involved with the work and didn't want to look for her. So the idea was that since you guys were there, hey, go look for her and deal with her.
Yeah.
And I was building from there, and I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Everything in the trash. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I didn't, everything else was off the dome, pretty much.
Alex, does Zaris have resurrection?
Or
some type of, like, death spell? Death-saving spell?
Yes. So, we haven't decided how death works, because we had this debate when we first, like, when we were doing the Quiet Year.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking forever ago.
Like, over a year ago?
Like, a year and a half ago, yeah. and we were talking about how, like, Revivify will work. But like resurrection would be at like great cost or like it would be very weird.
So really quick, just before we go too far into that, Ruben, what if she tried it on one of those marauders' bodies in the sewers in the water? Because I didn't think about that until later. I was like, wait, does she has, I know she has access to those spells as like her player, but I don't know if she had those yet. So that's why I wanted to make sure she had them.
I didn't at that point. Cool. I have, I did not get Revivify, or I had Revivify, I think. But Revivify is a third level spell. So I had that, but that only lasts for a minute.
Ooh.
You need a diamond.
And you need a diamond, which we don't have. And then for,
Stop robbing people.
Fuck, right? Well, I mean, yeah, it's interesting because each level has different, like, concepts of, like, wealth and, like, community. So you're like, I don't know. I have Reincarnate, which is a fifth level spell.
Would that require you to touch somebody?
Yes.
So I think in that case, if she thought to use it, the moment she touched it, it probably would have popped up.
As, like, an enemy?
Like, as a zombie, yeah.
Oh, because that's what I was thinking, but I was like,
yeah, you touch a dead humanoid or a piece of dead humanoid, provided that the creature has been dead no longer than 10 days. The spell forms a new body for it and then calls the soul to enter that body. If the target's soul isn't free or willing to do so, then the spell fails. The magic also fashions a new body for the creature to inhabit, which likely causes the creature's race to change.
You roll for it.
Yeah.
That'd be fucking dope.
DM rolls a D100 and consults the following table to determine what form the creature takes when restored to life.
Remember, that happens on a Nadpod.
Mm. But, yeah. The reincarnated creature.
Spoiler, sorry.
Yeah.
Fuck, Ruben.
Are you listening to that, bud?
No.
I didn't think so.
Yeah.
You should.
It changes its, racial traits change, obviously, but, like, other than that, everything is the same. I think the issue with reincarnate is, like, you have to be able to touch part of that creature.
Touch. Well, I mean, the creature was there, but, like, was it actually there? With, like, the idea of, like, the sewers disappearing, like, would it have been, like, a where, like, nothing happens, but, like, we interacted with a few things that actually hurt us down there, so, like...
So the idea for the actual guys there in the water is that they were just bodies. Like, the fungus was controlling the body. Think very much like the fungus from Last of Us.
Yeah.
Did we ever figure out why the bodies weren't, like, why they didn't turn into dust, or...
We figured it was, there was a magic in the sewers that was keeping them there.
Okay.
I think Chuck helped out with that one.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw, you guys kind of got the hint that the sewers were fake, because there was the one spot where the water met and, like, went over this little waterfall.
Yeah.
And Amon had Chuck fly out to see what was in there, and he's like, it's literal just darkness.
It's nothing.
Yeah, it's a void.
Give me a lot of nothing.
Yeah, a whole lot of fucking nothing.
Nothing.
Speaking of some fun voices, Ruben, voicing the Echo, are you going to continue to voice the Echo? Because this is something you worked out with Connor.
That's up to you guys.
I mean, I honestly don't mind you doing it, because, like, I think you guys worked out, like, how they're gonna interact. We just have to figure out how it's gonna work out when you're not DMing. Because I think it's fucking hilarious.
Well, he controls the Echo. So any action that the Echo's doing, like, I don't have any autonomy when it comes to that. So if he wants, I'll ask Connor before we play next time. But if he wants me to continue to voice the Echo, I'll voice the Echo.
Dude, I think it's fucking funny. It's like, it's so funny when he's like, what are you? And he's like, better than you. Like, fucking, oh my god. That was so funny.
And not to get too much about his character, but I was literally like, what kind of character is your Echo? Because we discussed, like, what is he? And he's like, think like Lord Farquaad from Shrek. Very pompous, better than everyone. And I was like, okay. this is what you told me.
I liked it. I thought it was fun.
I think I had a question. I lost it.
Where did it go?
Where did it go?
God damn it. So this level, and I mean, I think it's going to keep happening, but this level is going to end up being 9 episodes. Longest level so far.
Yeah.
Did you think it was going to be 9, or are you surprised that it was 9?
I knew it was going to be longer. I was surprised it was 9, yeah. I thought it was maybe 7 at the most, but I like torturing you guys a little bit. It was fun.
Yeah, I was going to say, because so far, I mean, aside from now this one, con permiso, Deep Stall was the longest at 7.
Yeah.
And you know, we just hit 9. And I think, like, it to me, it makes sense just because of what was happening to us.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I think, I don't know how Alex has been writing, but, like, the way I've been writing my next stuff is, like, I can easily see it being longer than this
mm-hmm.
or a lot shorter than this, again, depending on what the party does. But I think, like, you wrote this different than the way you wrote Limbo.
Yeah, 100%.
And it's exactly what I'm doing with mine, and I know I'm... like 1,000% sure that that's what Alex is doing with hers. And so, like, I think we're just going to get longer levels. But 9, kind of like, I was like, oh, shit, dude, we've been doing this for 9 weeks. Like, this is wild.
I think that it was very ambitious of us. So a peek behind the curtain, our original plan was each terrace was going to be a tight 5 episodes,
mm-hmm.
which...
we threw it out the window as soon as you took over.
Because Carnalia was 5 episodes.
Oh, then that's when I said. I was like, fuck it, I'm going longer.
You're like, I can't do it in 5. And yeah. I was just like, that makes sense.
And again, Limbo was just supposed to be the intro area. Yeah. Everything was very rigid and structured. Like,
yeah.
I had that tight for 5 episodes.
It was literally point A to point B.
Yeah, if you guys had done something stupid, you still, all roads would
lead to Rome.
Yeah, so 5 episodes was going to be what it was going to be. Yeah, I pretty much, once we got the steam rolling and Alex put her stuff through, I was like, there's no way we'd keep it five.
But I do like that we're, like, okay with just going longer or as long as needed. As long as it's not, like, and I mean, us as a DMs, we'll catch ourselves, too. Like, all right, we need to fucking end this soon. Or, like, whatever shenanigan they're stuck on has to be put away now.
Yeah. One of the things that Zaris did this level, Zaris had access to fifth level spells, which includes Scry. And do you know what the deal is with Kierdan? Interesting. I felt not bad, but I think Zaris is a character, like, it was just very, very curious, like, what the fuck is going on? With Kierdan and, like, what that whole deal is. And I kind of threw you for a loop because I was just like, listen, I have level 5 spells now. I'm going to cast this. And I did not talk to you about it beforehand.
I think the conversation was just like, I'm going to cast Scry. Like, what?
Alex, prepare me. So I'm casting Scry.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
You can do that?
And no, I definitely had to put the DM thinking cap on. I don't know if we actually put it. Did I? I think I thought for, like, a second, like, okay, all right, this is
what's going on. I was going to say, like, you did, like, take, I'm not even going to say a minute, but, like, you took a minute to figure out what you were going to, like, situation you were going to put him in and, like, see how she reacted to it and then left it to the table to deal with whatever happened.
Yeah, you guys took it from there. Like, I didn't even talk for, like, the next 20 minutes after that happened. So, which means I gotta tell you what's happening.
Yeah,
I think that's your level.
Hell yeah! You don't know which one. I got 2 left.
It's true.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. Also, like, I said this to you guys, so I think I'll just keep it off air. But like, I'm like trying to find a way to say this that isn't like spoiling what I know about Zaris, but yeah, let's all hope that Kierdan doesn't die.
I mean, I hope he doesn't die. Like, me, the player, Amon, the character, like, I think they all have, like, high hopes for seeing him.
Sure. This is also the first time I've ever played, like, a married adventurer. I'm like, oh shit, she has a fucking husband.
This was also the level, the first time she's actually kind of explained to the rest of the group what her stakes are in this.
Yeah.
Totally, yeah.
The only one she kind of said that to was Richard, because they had kind of a bond over it. Everyone else is like, okay, this is why she's doing what she's doing now.
Yeah, yeah. She's got to find her very devoted paladin husband. Like, playing Oath of Devotion, where you're like, your oath comes from being married, is just like, that was one of my brightest, like, moments where I'm like, oh, that's so fucking smart.
This idea fucks.
It's so good.
I love you so much. It gives me magic.
I love you so much. Smite.
I go boom now.
How much do you love me?
Boom! Good things worth at least.
Holy magic, motherfucker!
I got scared because you told me to level Kierdan up to level 20 and send you the character sheet. You were just like, just level him up to that high and just like send it to me. And I was like, okay. I do have that character sheet, by the way.
He's a thick boy.
I had
boy.
To figure out what ratio of
paladin,
like,
to whatever,
to druid, because he's like, yeah, yeah. He's from a, they're all like, you know,
druidic,
it's a druidic clan, but he multi-classed into paladin when they got married, so I had to figure
pretty
out like
nice.
what I wanted the breakdown to be.
Hard as fuck.
Oh yeah, he's a beefy elf. You're Ruben. Narrowing your eyes and like a
I have thoughts, that's all.
Ruben, the first time we saw Fabrice go full fungal form.
Yeah.
Good shit.
What if like, Siegfried or Elias, because I feel like it would have been either of those two, just decided, nope, and started started killing him, or like, tried to kill him.
Siegfried had the thought.
I think the idea was he was going to get, if, like, conversation was just out the window, he was going to get one of you guys to zero, and basically hold him hostage until you guys come to talk to him.
Okay, so let's say this happens, right? So Siegfried had the thought. Like, we all saw him have the thought.
Yeah.
So Siegfried has the thought. He goes and gets dropped to zero. Elias, I think, is going to see red and just attack. Especially now that... Oh, no, because he didn't have the... Did he have the echo at that time?
The first time you see him? No.
So, yeah, I don't know if he had it. Like, I think Elias would have tried to get in there and tried to, like, get Amon to be sneaky and, like, maybe, like, Starlight step behind him and we, like, double team the shit out of him. Like, I don't know if Elias would have wanted to listen.
And that's why I, when he turned Fungal for the first time and he fought the square of the soldier.
Yeah.
That's why I had him, like, two hits and he was wrecking him.
Yeah.
So that you knew, like, okay, he if he could do that to him, imagine what he'd do to us. That was the kind of the idea. Because that's always the first thought. Like, what if they just say no and just decide just to...
fucking kill him?
Yeah. Try to kill him.
Oh, my God. I think that would have been so fucking funny.
I also think that's part of the thing of, like, being a DM, where it's, like, how do you make your players care or, like, give enough of a fuck about a character that they don't immediately go, like, murder hobo?
Yeah, that's why I was like, as soon as the fight was over, fucking no more Fungal, fall over.
Yeah.
Now he's Fabrice again, and now you guys are like, we know this version.
Yeah, we know this guy.
Yeah, maybe there's an explanation, which you guys did. And then Siegfried later, like, I'm sorry, little one. Slice!
Just fucking attacks?
Yeah.
I think what, since you brought up Murder Hobo, I think that the moment in the sewers where Amon was like, fuck it, Team Fungus dies. Everybody goes down at this point. Like, I've had enough. Like, nothing is what it is. Like, I'm just going to kill everything. And, like, hope that's it. Just Alex's reaction alone. Just, why? They know what they did.
No!
That wasn't even real them.
I know.
Maybe. No, it wasn't real Cat, at least.
Oh, yeah. Zara's taking mushrooms, talking to a cat.
That's what the lion was. The cat. Yeah. It was the cat, yeah.
Well, I also, like, I really loved when the cat, like, decided to speak, or, like, you cast speak with that.
Oh, the infernal
and the
cat
was just, like, very slow moving. And I could feel Alex's anxiety go. I'm just like, cat, I need you to hurry up.
I knew that. That's why I was like, well, the cat doesn't care. He's aloof. Like, it's a cat. He's just like, yeah, he gets up, stretches.
You can't force a cat to do anything. Yeah, exactly. Have you ever tried to force a cat to do something? It doesn't work.
Yeah, that was exactly the demeanor. He's like... And he, like, even, what did you say? It's been a while since I spoke this. And you're like, common? He's like, no, whatever this
hate speech is. This demon speak.
Yeah. Like, having a sidebar during the situation.
Cat!
Fucking cat!
The corpse flower. What did you think of that guy? I know we didn't have a lot of interaction with them because as soon as, like, it came out the water, you're like, fuck that. No, get to the safe zone. Yeah. It was actually a lot lower DC than the Guardians were.
Oh.
What made it so scary? Why did you guys run from it?
Just the idea of, like, a huge, gross, fucking sentient flower, I think, made everyone uncomfortable. I think that was the time that also I did, like, Erupt Earth or something and just, like, wrecked
it. Yeah, you guys, yeah,
like,
yeah.
I was just
you
like,
guys were just, bye!
Gotta go.
We got the fuck out of there real quick.
Not that it was, like... That's when you're talking about, like, when your players derail your thing. It's like, oh, like, this was supposed to be, like, an encounter. Like, I guess not. Like, all right.
But, like, I love that. Like, as a DM, like, seeing creative solutions to problems that you, like, absolutely never in a million years would have guessed.
Specifically with the corpse flower, I think what triggered it was Amon taking off. Because... Fun peek into Amon's backstory when we ran Curse of Strahd in Death House.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what the hell Marcus did to you guys. Yeah, like, that was fucking terrifying. But Ruben had us fight a corpse flower. And that wrecked our shit. It almost took one of our players. And so that's why I think at some point I asked you, I was like, hey, can I roll to see if I recognize this? And, like, Amon did. And he was like, nope, and got the fuck out. And like, even though, like, Amon, you know, when we fought that,
you're like level 3.
Level 3, yeah, like level 10 now. Like, I can one shot this by myself, but like, nah, dude, like, he's reacting the way, yeah, the way the brain would react for him. He's like, no, and I'm fucking take off. Because I think I was the first one across, and then Siegfried came. No, Siegfried was last. You, I think it may have been Zaris or Elias right behind me. Because I remember when it shot, like, one of the tentacles, I hit it with a firebolt.
We gotta go back, but I think what happened was is that she did erupt Earth and then turned into, like, a wolf.
Yeah.
And it took off.
Honestly, I think you were the first one through then because you had the 100 speed.
Yeah, she was
fast as fuck, boy. But yeah, I just remember, I think that was my trigger, or at least a mon for, like, nah, I don't want to be here anymore.
Okay, that makes sense. Because I was like, why is... Like, you guys have fought, like, a lot of things. It was just this one stinky flower. And you're bro, not even. Won't even touch this guy. At least it was scary. Like, at least you guys ran from it. And then it wasn't frustrating, but I just kept that it was funny that every time one of the guardians showed up, you guys just kept
fucking booking. Dude, and Elias getting, like, progressively more mad that we're just not fighting fucking it? Taking off.
Oh, yeah, speaking of that, Zaris and Elias got into a fucking...
Oh, you called him a coward.
Because he was being a coward.
Messing with dead bodies, yeah.
He's just being a coward.
He's like, we'll just set these up. And I know...
Have you prepared for, or have any of you guys prepared for the possibility of PvP?
Oh, yeah. No, because I would think, if anything, if it got, like, a little heated, I'm pretty sure... I think Siegfried would nip that shit in the butt real quick.
Yeah, okay.
He would at least try.
Yeah. Especially if he, now that he has, like, the Tibetan presence thing.
Oh,
where
yeah.
Where he can just scare everyone. Which, granted, you guys have decent wisdom, but, like...
I mean...
I have pretty good wisdom.
Elias doesn't.
No.
Amon has decent wisdom. Yeah, and he doesn't... That's not his character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, you guys right now are working, like... pretty decently, and I think subconsciously, especially, you know that PvP is generally not a thing you should do.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't really worried about it now, especially when in my area, because it's like there's a lot of other shit to worry about.
Sure. Well, I think it was a lot more possible in like Terrace 1 or Terrace 2, where like everyone's still kind of figuring each other out.
And there was like heated moments during all those, yeah.
Totally. And Elias's character development has just been so fucking
great.
Chef's
kiss. It's been real good.
So like I like that you guys said that his Echo is like how he was
when
in
he
Limbo.
Showed up.
Yeah. So I think that was a really cool way to kind of like make you think about like how he's changed as a character so far, like which I think is pretty neat.
And that was all Connor's idea.
I love that.
Came from him. So I was like, bro, he's like, what if we did this? And I was like, that's fantastic.
Yes, we're going to do it.
Yeah. Say less. Like, we'll
make it happen.
Yeah. But yeah, that was all Connor's idea. Even the multi-classing into Echo Knight.
Well, I think he got, like, hyped when you dropped Echo Knight in Limbo. He was like, yo, what the fuck is this? Like, because
when Naomi almost wrecked his shit.
But it's really cool when like you see that and like you can see your character doing that and like, you know, making it work with their abilities.
It's very organic for the environment. Yeah,
totally.
I love it.
It was awesome. What else do I have here?
You got any other questions?
I got one for the very end.
Okay.
Trying to see. Oh, was Jamie and Jesse too much?
I thought it was funny as hell.
I thought it was fun.
Yeah? Not too much? Because I felt like they were supposed to be a little bit of comic relief, but I felt like they were kind of like too silly.
Too silly?
Yeah.
I think the only silliness came from the fact that like it was very obvious
who they were.
I think that's the only thing. You did something like that in your level 2 where I was just like, oh, this is obviously like a reference to something. I forget what it was, but like I don't think it's a bad thing. I think
it's dual monsters.
No. But like I remember I was talking about this to Marcus about like the strengths we all bring as different DMs, because you do incredible plot points.
Thank
like,
you
do incredible plots. You, Danny, do incredible combats.
Like, your combats are always...
Your encounters are fun.
Your encounters are always really, really interesting and always have, like really cool builds. Because I think you just like trying to kill everyone.
Everyone can get it.
So I liked seeing how that flavor has kind of, like...
Floated into
it. Yeah.
Excellent. That's all I have. Right.
My last question, Ruben.
Uh-huh.
Sneak peek at a new character?
Yeah. I was going to ask.
How much do you want me to divulge?
As much as you feel comfortable with. As my therapist would say.
God damn it.
So, I am not playing a regular humanoid character.
Shocker.
Yeah.
It's got to be weird.
He always has to play a weird, not humanoid.
Likes little dudes.
He just likes little dudes.
Little dudes, yeah, he is a little guy. I'll give his race. He's of a kobold variety.
Yeah,
little lizard band stuff. I'll discuss with you guys a little bit more as far as the DMs what his character qualities are, but he's actually a character I played. I made him in Utah for a pickup game that I was just out there for work, and there was just happened to be a D&D spot down the road from my hotel. So I went down there. I was like, hey, can I jump in your game? They're like, yeah, you need a character. Got the level, whatever. And part of his character backstory came from that random kid. He was like the 16-year-old kid who was running a game for like five people. I was like, whatever, bro, wherever you need him to fit in. And he basically said a little bit of his backstory, and then I took it from there and made the rest of it. So the qualities that he has comes from this random kid that I was playing with over at in Utah like four years ago.
That's so cool.
He was actually really good for his age. He was like 16, 17. He'd been DMing for like a year or something like that. Really good. And I just had such a good time playing at his table with that character, and everyone else was like, I think at first because I was a stranger, they're like, person. But I came in, started role-playing with them, and everybody got warmed up to the idea of who he was, and I had a great time. So I was like, I got to bring it back. It was like one of my favorite characters. So I'm really excited to see my boy.
Maybe we keep him alive.
I don't have his planned death this time.
Okay. The original plan we discussed was you playing a cleric.
Yeah, I had...
And then...
I feel so bamboozled.
Since I'm not going to play that character anymore, I was thinking so that Zaris wouldn't have to play the support role, I would do a cleric, but I'd do like an oath of order or something. But Alex was like, I thought we weren't doing clerics.
But nah, son. Death everywhere.
That's true. Part of the thing we were talking about when we were building...
were banned from clerics.
We told Alex that she couldn't play a cleric because she knew that's what she wanted to play. Like, no, we're going to get you out of your bubble. We're going to force you out of your bubble. And then when I said I was going to play a cleric, she had a very visual reaction to it. But you said no clerics.
Very, very upset and bamboozled.
And he was originally going to be like an order...
peace one, right?
Oath of order, I think.
Yeah.
And he was going to be basically a firbolg who was themed like he thought he was the Phantom of the Opera.
Oh my god, I remember this.
Yeah.
Ruben and I were talking about it on the way to Battle Mage.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
And he was going to be like, because Oath of, or the Order Domain, or whatever it's called, they have abilities where they can basically have people take extra actions, or you can make an attack for, they can make an attack for you, or whatever. You can divvy out more actions to people. And the whole premise was going to be that he was going to, like, when he was in the Phantom thing, he was going to sing them to people. Like, you take another attack. And I was like, it might be too much to sing the entire time. For like 50 more episodes. Nah, never mind. So I scratched the concept, and I was just like, you know, I'm going to bring an oldie but a goodie, at least for me. So that's what you guys could have had.
But now you get... I almost said his name.
Yeah, you know his name.
We know his name, and we're very hyped to see him. I'm really interested to see how he fits in with everybody, in the, especially in this world.
Yeah, especially
because we've seen him in, like, really weird worlds already.
Yeah.
What do you say, Alex? Sorry?
Oh, and also, like, just, like, into, like, basically being the new kid in school. Like, yeah. Like, having to integrate with, like, our dynamic, you know? So.
Also, I have no idea how this character is getting introduced, but Alex and Ruben do. And so I'm really curious about that, like, as the player DM who doesn't know anything, like, super hyped to see how this works out, because, like I said, Ruben's played this character a few times with us. I met him so many different ways that, like, how do we introduce him?
And
like,
show up in Shelby's game after I killed that other guy.
I was like, how do we meet this boy, like, here in ye old afterlife? Like, what? So I'm pretty hyped for it.
Hell yeah.
So
hell yeah, dude.
Yes. Hell yeah, dude.
Give us a little, a sampling, if you will.
An appetizer?
A Costco sample of the next level, if you could.
Yes.
Help.
Yes, that too.
Yes.
I just know help. That's all the most I know about this level.
I'm really excited. I think when I was writing for Carnalia, it was level 2. Like, we were still really early. We were still filling things out for the campaign. And I was like, I want this to be entertaining, but not very, like, I didn't want to actually, like, I didn't want to accidentally kill everyone.
Are you not entertained?
I wanted it to be very, very balanced. And I will say, Zorn, which is the name of the next terrace, is incredibly imbalanced. And I'm really excited to see what you guys do. There, in the very, very beginning, there is a moment where I don't know how it's going to go, and it could go very bad from the very beginning.
Obviously, character just dead instantly.
Well, here's the thing. It's like, I don't think a DM ever goes in with the intention of wanting to actually kill your characters. Because there's a fine line between an exciting, nerve-wracking encounter and a boring character. And then also on the other side of that, between it just getting fucking spanked and not being able to, like, you know, it just not being, like, a fair encounter.
Yeah,
like,
there's, it's not fair, fun when it's unwinnable. Like, it's,
an unwinnable encounter. So just trying to find that good balance. But the name of the next terrace is Zorn.
Love it.
It is German for wrath.
Hell yeah. The amount of German we've used in this campaign, by the way, yeah. Christ.
It's just Volstrecker.
I would be very afraid of this governor and Volstrecker.
Yeah, I believe it, yeah.
I'm so fucking excited.
So that's Limbo, Carnalia, Deepstall, Gorsana, Zorn. Quite a world we built out, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, so
over here in Malphid.
I'm very excited. I still think the name Malphid was just like, we all pitched in on that
storm,
one.
Yeah.
The fucking brain blast for fucking Malphid.
Brain
is just beautiful.
Now this feels natural.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and wrap it up here. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us for another installment of Middle Eight Table Break.
Woo!
Talking.
Yeah.
And then in 2 weeks, we will be back with the very first episode with our adventurers, our ascenders in Zorn. So thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Please make sure you stay up to date on all of our podcast shenanigans on Instagram at Turning Tables Pod. And you can find me personally on Instagram at Ghost Coffee Shop. Danny, where can the people find you?
Yes, and find me on Instagram, Untapped, Blue Sky, at Wrathchild714. I'm going to keep pushing Blue Sky. I follow 2 people.
I don't even know what that is.
Stop 3. Trying to make Blue Sky happen. It's
new
happen.
Twitter. You guys can follow my other show on the Horrible People's Network. It's called Hops and Notes. You can follow it on Instagram at Hops and Notes Pod. We talk beer. We talk music. Like I said earlier, we just finished recording an episode here before this one. There's a lot of yelling, but we have a good time. Yeah, Ruben, what do you got?
So, again, my name is Ruben. If it changes, I'll let you guys know. I am the Blue Collar Sad Boy. You can find me on Instagram at REC Matrix. I like lifting weights and raccoons and anime and other weird stuff. Speaking of anime, by the time this comes out, at least the trailer should be out for my new podcast, Plot Armor Plus. An anime review show where I recently got abducted by an alien, and they told me they took a clone of me, and he's being forced to watch anime up on this weird satellite thing. I'm pretty sure he's the clone.
We don't know.
I don't know either.
We'll have to listen and find out.
Yeah. We'll have to see what happens.
We'll have to kill this one and see what happens.
Wait.
Put your hands up.
I'm pretty sure he's the clone. But yeah, if you like anime, I'm trying to stay away from mainstream animes, so I'm picking random stuff.
Hell yeah.
It's the second one, not the first episode that's going to come out, but the second episode, definitely a curveball. it's a weird show.
Love it.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for listening, and we will catch you in Zorn. Bye.